I may not collect bones, but I always keep my receipts.
Oh, I like that. Okay. My tan, like my jawline, is fake, but I always keep it real. Girl, I'm bronze. I don't know if the listeners can see me, but the way I put on so much bronzer today, because I was doing a video interview with Maitland Ward from Boy Meets World, who now is in porn and wrote a memoir. That was a really interesting conversation, but I wanted to look nice and glowy for her.
I love that. I was not prepared for a tagline referencing a tan. Yeah. I don't know why. It just took me out a little bit. Well, I'm here for it, though.
Well, do you know what the sad part is like, I'm in front of this ring light. It's kind of washing me out, and I'm, like, looking, and I'm, like, trying to flex my tan, and it really doesn't look like I got much of one going on right now. So, like, it's what I thought was, like, heavy painting turned into, like, a light dusting. I haven't had a real spray tan in a really long time, but it is my favorite thing in the world. It's you know, like, gay guys are always like, they say they feel their most powerful with, like, a fresh haircut, iced coffee in hand. Like, the thing that takes it to the next level is a spray tan.
Oh my god, do you know, I have not gotten a spray. I have always been extremely pale and totally fine with it, to be honest, but I will do literally anything else. Is it a fun process to go through the, is it a person with a thing spraying you, or is it a machine?
So I do both, but I, like, when I just want to, like, get it done quickly, I'll, like, do the machine and it's fine, because with a person, you really have to find the right artist, and I haven't found that person out here in LA, but for any New York listeners, the best place is Brazil Bronze Soho in Soho. It's where J-Lo goes, and my friend, like, had a coupon or a gift certificate that they got in, like, a gift bag or something. And it was, like, a happy accident. She was like, I'm not going to use this. Do you want it? You love spray tans. And I was like, absolutely. And so I went. And the day that I booked my appointment, I ended up booking the same girl who does J-Lo when J-Lo is in New York City. Oh. And, like, when I tell you the color, it is so beautiful. Like, I never feel more beautiful than when I walk out of Brazil Bronze Soho, which hasn't happened in, like, more than 2 years now. But
okay, follow-up question. You're completely naked, right? What's the point of getting it unless you, because you don't want to have you can't have a spray tan line, right? Right.
So the rules at Brazil Bronze Soho are boys have to wear underwear. So, I mean, it can be as, like,
okay,
skimpy as you want it. But, like, I don't mind, like, an underwear tan line. It's, like, whatever. Only my man's going to see that, so it's fine. But with girls, I think girls are allowed to go in completely naked if they choose.
You know what? I have to tell you, there's nothing I want to do less in my life than to disrobe for someone to just, like, analyze every crevice under the auspices of tanning me. Yeah. I just don't see it. I don't see it in my future. But I love that you love it. I love that.
I do. Well, I'm excited because I'll be in New York City for BravoCon in October. And so I'm definitely going to be tanned up for that.
Oh, my God. Wait. We have to talk BravoCon, but first, you guys, it's Andrew's Girls. It's episode 343-ish. I don't know. I could be off by 10. I couldn't tell you. And I'm so excited, as you can tell, to have a return guest back on the People's People Zoom Kiki couch. You know him as senior TV reporter at Page6.com and co-host of Page Six's fabulous new pod, Virtual Reality, with friend of the podcast, Danny Murphy. Welcome back, Evan Real. Evan, tan and glowing and fabulous as ever.
Oh, thank you. It is so good to be back. I can't wait to get your thoughts on everything that's going on, because it just, like, it feels like it's been a lot. I mean, it's always a lot in the Bravo world, but, like, it's just been a really interesting convergence of, like, tons of shit. I don't even know where to begin. I feel like my head has been spinning for, like, more than a week at this point, with, you know, between, like, Beverly Hills and then all the other non-Bravo things too have not been helping as well. Yeah. Like, the Queen.
I know.
What else? What else has been happening? You and I were just talking in depth about the Britney Christina body shaming controversy.
Yeah. Like, Instagram has been not kind.
Yeah.
This week, and also BCC ever. There has been a lot going on. Shout out to anyone in the United Kingdom or anywhere in the world who's mourning the loss of Queen Elizabeth II. It has been a weird time online, but listen, you referenced, and IRL, you referenced BravoCon. So I do have a question for you.
Yes.
I have actually 15,000 questions for you.
Let's go.
As you know, I am such a stan of you and everything that you do, and absolutely including in that your magnificent work as a moderator at BravoCon 2019. So I'm so excited to hopefully see you, maybe, perhaps, participating in some way at BravoCon. But in the meantime, I do want to get your thoughts as an expert from Page Six and as a Bravoholic and everything else in potential changes to the setup at BravoCon. My question to you is, do you think that Bravo is going to continue to do all cast panels in light of how controversial some of these recent seasons have been? Sorry, plural. Fun times, writer. What are your thoughts?
No, that is a great question because I was thinking the same thing to myself, especially with all the shit that's going down in Beverly Hills currently.
Right.
Like, how would they do it? I do, and I don't know anything for sure, but I anticipate a lot of no-shows. If they are...
Do you?
Yes, I do, because how is Lisa Rinna gonna get on stage? And especially if they continue with the fan questions, like, Rinna, Erica Jane, I feel like it's just, like, an opportunity for them to get roasted. I feel like it could get very contentious between some of the talent and the fans. So I think that it might be smart for some people to skip out. And maybe, you know, the first BravoCon, they had those wonderful, like, housewife on housewife things with, like,
yes,
with like four, like just like four mm-hmm. of them. And I really mm-hmm. enjoyed those. So maybe there will be a lot more of those. It's always so fun to see different housewives together that you would never expect to be on the same couch. I mean, obviously the success of Ultimate Girls Trip has shown us that Bravo fans absolutely love that. So I think, I feel like more of those will come because, yeah, I can't imagine like a traditional like Real Housewives of Beverly Hills panel. And then I'm also trying to think like what other franchises would be kind of tough. I mean, like Jen Shah, is she
yeah,
going?
Salt
is
Lake
she,
would be
is
tough.
She on the list?
I mean, shouldn't she be in town at that point for the stuff that's coming up after that? Like,
I mean,
in
yeah.
early November. I mean, maybe.
Right. That may. Do you know? I hope she goes just as like her final farewell. Maybe they can do like a whole like a farewell to Shah sort of panel because I think it's gonna be a really long time before we see her again.
I think so too. I also wonder the crazy thing to me, and it's like I actually. Whatever. I don't even know that I want to share my opinion on this. But like, I don't think Jen Shah would get the kind of reaction that members of the Fox Force would get during Q&As. Like, I actually think it could be more negative and toxic in Beverly Hills for a Beverly Hills panel.
100% agree. I feel like Jen Shah the last season was so likable. There was something charming about her. I really can't put my finger on it, but like, even though I know she defrauded elderly people, like, I might get lunch with her. You know, like, I wouldn't mind, like, sitting down and sharing a meal. Like, I actually got to hang out with her a little bit at a fashion show that Meredith Marks hosted in Salt Lake City back in April. And I had a lot of fun with her. Like, she was a cool girl. Like, she knows how to, like, immediately disarm you, make you feel like she is your best friend, and that's probably how she defrauded a bunch of old people. Like, I would have been there, like, swiping my credit card for her. Like, yes, go for it, girl. Here's my bank account.
I mean, there is this idea within Housewives of, like, playing the likability game where it's such a gendered idea. So often is a woman likable, but in Housewives, there's almost a subversion of that where the unlikability can make a housewife a star and you have to respect your villains. And with Jen, it's like, yeah, as you said, there is a reason she was able to defraud so many people out of so much money for so long, because she's so charismatic. She's charismatic. Yes. She's funny. She's smart. She's quick. She might be someone who you'd like to get a drink with. She also might be someone who's unavailable to get said drink because she might be at camp for a very long time because she actively defrauded people and then tried to cover it up for a while. I mean, that's just, there is a connection there between charisma, personality, and success, shall we say, at the kind of deception she was able to lead for so long.
Very successful.
Very successful. And, you know, with BravoCon, I remember when they first did like the, I don't remember who it was. It was like maybe E! Online or ET Online. It was an outlet that did like the first list of here are the 100 people who are confirmed, and it was organized by franchise. And I and this was months ago, but I do remember when that went out, Lisa Rinna was not under Beverly Hills, which I thought was really strange. And I don't know if it was because there was stuff going on behind the scenes, negotiation, or maybe she had a date conflict or something. But I wonder if that has changed and maybe changed again based on her behavior on the show and also her behavior online.
Yeah. I can't imagine BravoCon being a safe space for Lisa Rinna. Like, there's just no way. Does she have, like, fans anymore? Like, I don't feel that affection for, like, I feel like back in the day, like, people were really into Rinna. I don't, like, were you ever like a Rinna stan, or have you always been kind of like,
I appreciated her for a while, and then I was like, ooh, some of this is tough, and now I'm like, oh man. But I don't know that I actively was like, yes, about Rinna, but I definitely was like, yes, this is crazy and wild, and Rinna's the only one who's willing to do it when it came to like crazy fucking shit, especially in her early years. She seemed to relish in it, and we relished in that relishing. But she was never in my top five.
I always think about this moment I had with her years ago. She was at some, I don't even think she was on the current season, but it was some Celebrity Apprentice event back in those days.
Oh my God.
And it was in New York at the Cipriani, and she was there, and what's the one downtown? Not the Cipriani. The big one downtown, kind of near Chinatown. Capital? Yes, Capital. So we were at Capital, and the event was there, and there was like a rumor going around that she was going to join the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
Mm.
And I like went up to her and I just like asked her about it, and she shut me down so hard. It made me feel like so little, and was not the kindest to me about it, and just like made me feel like absolute like a dirt scumbag for even asking her about like if she's gonna go on Beverly Hills. And it was like something to the effect of like, I would never. I mean, I don't know if that's what she said, I can't remember, but like it was just, she shut it down. So I always think about that moment and how here we are so many years later, nearly a decade later, and she is this very polarizing figure within the Housewives fandom.
You know what's so interesting hearing that, I think, is the idea that Lisa Rinna would like think she was above Housewives. She's never been
like, ma'am, above you are Housewives. Hawking depends.
Right. And I don't begrudge her for that.
I'm love
jealous
that
she made $1 million doing it or whatever she actually did, but like Housewives, especially Beverly Hills Housewives, was always a prestige franchise. Like, since the very first season, it has never not been anything else but a success.
Right.
So the idea that she would think, I mean, I remember when she initially joined and I said, absolutely not. I love this version of reality TV and I don't want it. I don't want a Lisa Rinna-esque energy to this. And I honestly think I was very wrong for a while. I think now I don't know, but
maybe your instinct was right.
I know, that's kind of I don't want to begrudge the many gifts she's bestowed on us, but it is also so fascinating that she's hawking this fucking Rinna Rosé, which I talked about at length on a Patreon episode that went up this weekend, because I mean, you would think she would be marketing this to fans, the Bravo community, as any other housewife businesses. And yet she has blocked 99% of Bravo content creators. So, like, ma'am, who are you going to send your wine to? How do you think you're going to be able to, like, a whole part of it's the universe of the PR box. How are you going to be sending out this out to people when you have, like, literally five content creators left?
I do wonder, like, what her strategy is there. She's actually, she's even blocked Page Six recently. Like, the
is she still leaking, though, or is she's finding other avenues?
I guess
she's
so.
She's sending you snail mail instead.
Yeah, I'm not sure what her deal is, because the reason we found out that she blocked Page Six is because our social media editors, like, two of them, like, slacked me, and they were like, why did Lisa Rinna block me? And I was like, I don't think she blocked you. Because, you know, I don't think she has it out against you. I bet you that she blocks Page Six and you're, you know, attached to that account. And then we figured out that, like, yes, she has blocked Page Six. I think that she just is, like, wiping her feed clean of anything Housewives related. Because it feels like she's ready to spread her wings and fly on out of here.
I mean, and yet she posts so frequently about Housewives.
Yeah, that, so, right, like the, like, cryptic stories, it's like...
It's a lot. It's yes. Also, a lot of content creators were initially posting about how confused they were when they realized that their personal and professional accounts had been blocked, thinking like, oh my God, she did some sort of, you know, goddamn investigation to figure out who I am. But when you go to block an account, it gives you the option of, like, block just this account or block this account and any other accounts created by the same person or email or whatever. So she did the latter on everyone, which means that if you have X Bravo account, there's a very strong likelihood that she blocked your personal and professional, because that's a thing you can do. Do you think she's going to be back?
I don't know.
What do you think is going to happen?
If I had a reading with a medium who told me that I have great intuition.
Okay, great.
If I were to be intuitive, I think that there's, like, a 79% chance she's not coming back.
Okay. And do you think that will be her call or Bravo's call?
Is it ever their call? I mean, like, I feel like some of the girlies try and pretend like it's sort of their call, but I feel like, you know, 9 times out of 10, unless it's like, I do think it was, like, Portia's call. You know, Cynthia says it was her call. I don't know.
Definitely was not Cynthia's call. Absolutely not. No, definitely was Portia's. Heather Thompson, which I think Andy confirmed. Bethany, both times, her call. Lydia McLaughlin, the first time, her call. Oh, Mary Cosby,
I would say, was her call. Isn't it crazy that, like, Lydia and Heather are in that club? That is so crazy to me.
I know. I think it's crazier that Lydia was and we're only talking the first time. We're not talking when she came back, but for Lydia. But, my God. Yeah, it is kind of, definitely of over 120 housewives, I would say less than 10, right?
Probably. Yeah, I mean, look, maybe it would be Rinna's call, who knows? But I have this feeling that she is getting over it. I mean, there are a lot of people getting over her, but I also feel like she's sort of exhausting herself in a way. Like, I feel like she's hitting the end of her rope. I mean, what do you think? Do you think she'll be back? Like, if you just, like, had to guess.
I don't know, because I assumed not. But then I've had people on recently who are pretty sure that she either will. They're just kind of, like, intuition is that she will, or that the ball is in her court. And I think if the ball is in her court, she's staying, because she's a business person. Mm-hmm. And how can you turn down that check? What do you have to replace that? Especially if, like, again, who are you sending the lip kits to? You blocked everybody. Like, I don't know how much money that stuff brings in, truly. Like, it seems for so many housewives, a part of building these businesses is to, you know, monetize them. But it's also to give plot, to give a new perspective or a new look to a season by saying you're working on thing X, Y, and Z. And for Rinna, I don't know. I'm sure, you know, the lip kit is successful, but I don't know to what extent. And the wine hasn't launched yet. I don't think it could come close to bringing what she's probably making per season, but I also have truly no idea.
Yeah, I know. I do. Yeah, now that you say that, I bet you that if the ball is in her court, like, why wouldn't she? Because I don't know if, like, Harry Hamlin's made for TV Canada movies are bringing in the dough that Bravo's. But I could be wrong. I don't know. I was very shocked to hear about how much Randall Emmett was paying Bruce Willis. But he is Bruce Willis. But I don't know. You never know. People make money in crazy ways.
Yeah, that's true. I do want to get your thoughts on another housewife business, because it's certainly come up on the Atlanta reunion, which started this weekend, and certainly online and perhaps on Page Six as well. The launch of She by Sheree, which
I have thoughts.
And launched again. Tell me your thoughts, Evan Real. Keep it real.
I'm so sad and disappointed for her. Like, Bravo literally handed this to her on a silver platter. Like, how many times have they brought her back? And then this season, not only do they bring her back again, and I love Sheree. I think she is a formidable housewife. She is wonderful. Mm-hmm. She's given us so many iconic moments. And I just feel like she really effed up this opportunity to launch She by Sheree. Like, literally, the season buildup was to this show. And, I mean, the show was, you know, optically a success. Like, it looked like it went off without a hitch, despite the drama beforehand. You know, the fashion show finally had fashions. They were cute fashions. Didn't see many of them on the website. When the website eventually launches, it's this, like, sheen knockoff. And then It all of a sudden, due to the overwhelming, like, love and support and interest, the website is down, which, I don't know, that's a little weird. And it's just, I don't know, it just makes me really sad for her. And then also, like, the price point is absolutely not it. It'll never be it. She needs to know her audience. Like, she needs to confer with Bethany, because, like, Bethany always knew. Bethany knew who her audience was. It was the person who's not going to spend more than $19 on a bottle of alcohol, or who was going to maybe pick up some beauty products at Walmart. You know what I mean? Like, she, like, knew who her audience was. And where does Sheree get off thinking that someone is going to pay $172 for a sheen knockoff, or even a t-shirt with a picture of an emoji that says living my best life? Like, I can get that for $7.99 at Marshall's. It has nothing of your branding. Yeah. Like, it doesn't say, it doesn't give Sheree vibes. It's like, I don't know. And then, like, also the, like, cartoon t-shirt, like, with the cartoon image of her saying, who gonna check me, boo? Mm-hmm. Selling that for $180. Ma'am, they've been selling that on Redbubble and Etsy for a decade now. Like, I need something that I can't get anywhere else, and I need it at a price point that makes sense, because $172 just doesn't make sense. Like, it's no longer aspirational anymore. I have no interest in it. I don't want it. And then it relaunched again, and then, like, today apparently there's some, like, cheetah tracksuit or athleisure set that is sourced from the same place where Walmart gets their athleisure, and, like, you can literally buy it on walmart.com for, like, $18.99, and she's selling it for $180. It's just, I'm sad that she doesn't at least have people around her to guide her and be like, hey, Sheree, like, if you're going to source from the same Shein warehouse or the same Walmart warehouse, like, at least give us a Shein or Walmart price.
Yeah, I have to say, shout out to the Talk of Shame, who has been posting receipts and various websites, including a place I think called, like, I don't remember the names of any of the sites. Honestly, go to the Talk of Shame's Instagram for more.
Yes, but that's where I saw the Walmart thing, I think.
Right, the prices are crazy. The items look identical. And, you know, I went on her newly launched website. The old one, she said, crashed, but she was able to put an update to it. So I don't entirely understand. But she seemed to build a new website that was much more user-friendly. But she has like a sweatshirt. So it's not even the sweatsuit. She has a sweatshirt for $252. You can't get free shipping until you spend, I think, $400.
Like, no one is spending that, Sheree. Like, that is absolutely insane that she thinks people are going to spend that. Like, do I love the hoodie that Andy wore on Anna's Instagram story? I love it. And for if it was $59, I would have bought. I would, $65 she could still get me, which is like a pretty good price for a hoodie. Like, she could make some money, but no one in their right mind would pay $200 whatever for that hoodie, which, by the way, the logo is an absolute knockoff of Jeffree Star.
Oh.
Which also isn't like the best inspo to take from. So, like, there's that. But I would be willing to overlook the Jeffree Star of it all if the hoodie was a reasonable price. But it's not.
And the thing is, she could ask Bethany, but she also already met with Candy, or spoke with Candy, and spoke with Kenya, who both have successful businesses.
Right. They are a wealth. Both of those women are a wealth of knowledge. They... I want to know if, like, Candy and Kenya were ever made aware at any point of this ridiculous price point. Actually, I would love... I wish we could have Kenya on right now, because I have so many questions for her. I bet she would have the most hysterical things to say in a confessional about the sheen of it all. And I do hope that Sheree comes back next season, because I can't wait to see how this moment plays out. Or, I mean, I don't think they're taping yet, but they're still going to have to talk about it. It was... That story, like, just, like, the simple write-up of, oh, my God, a Shein knockoff, like, Shein by Sheree, like, killed it for us. It performed so well. So there is so much interest in this situation. I just hope that she can, I don't know, make better use of it. Because I did like the discount code. It was, like, what was it? It was a play on Shein.
Sheree, it was, like... She not by Shein.
For yes, 20% she not off by
or
Shein.
Something like that.
Yeah, which I liked that, but we're going to need more than 20% off to make me even think about buying an item.
There, I mean, you made so many good points. I think the thing with Sheree, though, is she wasn't looking for other people's input, and she either didn't have capacity or interest to do the work. And some of that work is like being honest with yourself, but also being practical and pragmatic in the idea of like, well, I think I'm worth a lot, so I have to charge a lot regardless of what this stuff is and what it costs, or especially because of it. I'm a smart businesswoman, so I'm going to mark it up 1,000%. And like, that's not smart business strategy. Smart business strategy would be trying to figure out exactly who your audience is, looking at the metrics of other successful housewives, businesses, merch, because it's not really, I don't think the stuff that she has on her website to me looks different than the stuff that she showed at the fashion show.
Yes.
This looks more like merch, which is different to me than like design apparel.
Yeah.
So you should price it that way. You're not selling, I mean, Sonia by Sonia Morgan, those are dresses. Those are dresses that you wear outside. Like, this is not that. Like, and yet she's pricing it in such a way. And also, at the end of the day, like, who could help her if she doesn't want help? Like, maybe she doesn't want help, but she's not going to make a whole lot of money at this, because people are not going to spend $252 on a joke.
No.
It shouldn't be a joke. I want She by Sheree. I want joggers and I don't wear pants. I would make an exception for Sheree, but she's not allowing us to.
Yeah, no, that's like, yes to all of that. Like, it's sad that it is a joke now. And also, now that we're talking about Sonia by Sonia Morgan, do you remember those price points? Because I don't.
I mean, I remember her going to the reunion and being like, and this dress is only $105. I don't remember those prices. Her Sonia by Sonia Morgan was so sweet and actually sent me stuff to wear to BravoCon in 2019.
Did you wear
it? And, you know, I blame myself. I blame my boobs, which aren't even that big. I just show you 90% of them. So they look enormous. But there was like a button popped or something.
Okay.
Put it on. So, but I do think I wore it to something and I was so excited and I did a whole unpacking on Instagram. So I'm and shout out to Sonia by Sonia Morgan, and I'm, you know, die for them. Die for Sonia by Sonia M. Die
yeah, I that was a slow build, but she eventually, you know, reached her goals, and we were at Century 21 with a gorgeous display.
May its memory be a blessing.
Yes. Maybe Sheree should have called Sonia.
I think maybe Sheree should have called literally everyone, but at a certain extent, like, do people want Sheree to win more than Sheree does?
Yes. I say that confidently. And that's very upsetting to me.
I feel like Kenya said something similar at the reunion. Like, yeah. They, like, the idea that people genuinely want her to succeed at this and we want to be a part of it. We want to support her. It feels like she's not allowing that to happen.
Yeah. What did you think of, now that we're talking about the Atlanta reunion, what did you think of the seating arrangement?
Terrible. Didn't make any sense. I thought it was like, if I was Candy, I'd be like, fine, at least I'm like closest to the exit when it's time to go. But it was Marlo on one side, and then who was on the
other side of Andy?
No, that made no sense. It should have been on the other side. I thought it should have been Candy and then Sheree, then Kenya, or Candy and then Kenya and Sheree. And that those are all stars. So it's like they're all winners to me, but why is Sheree? That did not make any sense to me because Sheree didn't have the biggest conflict with Marlo. Candy did. So, like, how does this make any sense at all?
Totally.
What did you think?
I agree with all that, but I was also just really disappointed that Sonia and Drew were together because that's, like, I want them to be able to, like, look at each other. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Although I will say, like, the hair flip was kind of giving me, like, Petty Housewives vibes that I feel like I haven't seen in a long time. I'm not saying Drew was right for it, but it was amusing and entertaining to me. But it was like awkward because, like, you know, they're like arguing and stuff, and like it's like makes me feel uncomfortable as a viewer. Mm-hmm. But I love Drew so much. Like, I feel like,
do you?
I love her. First of all, I think she's so stunning. She looks like a cartoon princess to me. I think she's so beautiful. I just like love looking at her. But I think that she is like just always down for like whatever. Like I feel like she can take it. She can give it. She shows up. She does her job. I feel like she's getting better at shade. I feel like she like involves herself when necessary. Like, I feel like she's the perfect example of like why you don't give up on a one season girl. Like, she is, I feel like she's really growing into her role. And I just, yeah, I don't know. I'm really into it. I do think, you know, the Ralph of it all is, you know, concerning, but it's keeping me on the edge of my seat. I want to see what happens with it. And yeah, I don't know. I love her. Are you a fan? I feel like I talk about like my appreciation and obsession with Drew, and people are just kind of like smile and nod at me. And
I'm smiling.
Does no one
I'm
see
nodding.
It?
No, nobody does.
You, oh, okay.
No. I actually thought she, the fact that I said actually, I thought she had a really strong first part to the reunion. And honestly, it started in a way that had me very off kilter because she said something shady to Sheree, and then Sheree didn't. And I don't know if this was editing, but I think some of it had to have been reality. Like, Sheree didn't respond. Andy moved on. And then Sheree was like, Chihuahua? Like, it was this delayed reaction that had me thinking, like, wait, is Drew gonna, like, come out of this really strong? Because she just was very, I thought she was really quick in her responses, even if I disagreed with them. Like, this Sonia thing, like, you know, like, Drew, Sonia's crying. Well, there are tears.
I love
it. I mean, you know, sometimes it's like they always, this is a terrible comparison, but like at a wedding, they often say, like, don't look at the person coming down the aisle. Look at their counterpart waiting for them at the end. Like, that is the reaction you want to see. You want to see the reaction of the person seeing their one true love walk down the aisle. And that's sometimes how I feel about watching or trying to understand my own opinion of housewife responses at the reunion. Uh-huh. Like, I want to look not necessarily at Drew while she's saying these things. I want to look at Kenya. Mm-hmm. I want to see how Kenya is reacting to Drew. And the fact that Kenya was laughing multiple times at things Drew was saying, regardless of whether she thought it was funny, which I do think was a part of it, and also if she was like laughing at Drew or the situation, like totally fine. I sometimes will have my experience through the eyes of like the archetype prestige housewife uh-huh. on one of the couches to get a sense of what's going on. And you have to say that Kenya really thought Drew had a couple moments.
Yeah, and if Kenya's laughing, like, I am definitely laughing. I feel like she's the perfect housewife to take the temperature of a new housewife's performance, because Kenya, to me, is, like, ultimate, like, definitely in my top three for sure. Maybe my number one.
Who else is in your top three or top five?
Okay, so Kenya, absolutely, for sure. I mean, I've been watching Old Atlanta recently, and, like, Nene. Like, that one clip I've been watching on loop lately is where they're getting out of the bus. I think it's in Miami, and Kim is like, she threatened to throw me in the pond. And then Nene's like, I will throw you in the pond, and I will crack your neck, and then I'll poke your eyes out. Boop, boop. Like, there is nothing
Thomas Kramer's
funnier. Oh, like, so good. So, like, Nene, Kenya, who else? I'm, like, trying to think, like, who, I don't know. I live for Ashley Darby. I love her so much. I don't know if she's, like, my top three, but I do love her so much. Karen for sure. I don't know. Now I gotta think about it. I actually need to like write it out. Because mm-hmm. I don't know. Oh, Melissa Gorga. I love Melissa. Oh my god, I love Melissa Gorga.
People
so
love
much.
Melissa. You I would love be surprised, her. And again, no shade intended. A lot of people have Melissa Gorga in their top five.
Like, I truly love her. Like, I want to hang out with her. I want to be adopted by her. I want to shop at Envy. Like, yes. I don't know. I think that Matt Rogers, he always talks about how she has, like, big mm-hmm. sister energy. And it is completely that. She has this, like, it's just, like, I don't know, very appetizing to a gay man for whatever reason.
She also does seem, honestly, like a girl's girl, which I love. Yes. I love that she seems like a girl's girl. Yeah. I think that that helps. That matters.
Totally.
Especially on New Jersey.
And it's, like, been so wonderful to see her evolution over the years. Like, I think it was 2 seasons ago when she was, like, not giving an actual fuck about what her husband thought about her going to events and working on her business and her like stepping out being like, I'm doing this because I'm like a woman, hear me roar. Like, I loved that. And just like knowing kind of like where she came from this like traditional like Italian, you know, Catholic upbringing situation. Like, I remember like actually her book, she had this book called like Love Italian Style. And I don't know if you remember the like the marital rape drama.
Tracy Morrissey told me about it. I think it actually, we were talking about it, I think at BravoCon and then on a BravoCon recap episode in 2019. And I was like, what the fuck? Yeah, tell the people. It's so crazy.
To go from that to where she is now has been incredible. I'm all for the self-growth.
Because what did she say in the book? She's like, even if you don't want to have sex, you don't have a choice. Is that right?
I don't know if it was like exactly that, but it was kind of...
And apologies, I really don't remember. And I didn't
remember. And I don't remember either, so I could be like...
I have to say, it's not in the
I could be effing this up for sure. But I think it was something along... Like, maybe a little softer. Like, you know, like sometimes like it's okay to like put out even if like you're not in the mood because like your husband will love you for it or whatever. So... You know, that's, you know, not the best message to send. And I absolutely do not think 2022 Melissa would co-sign that.
Yeah. And also, who knows who wrote it? You know what I'm saying? Like, I think they sign off on it maybe at the cover shoot. And they're like, hi, I'm Melissa. Hi, I'm your writer. Right. It was a pleasure to work together. You know, like,
and she could have like trusted, you know, the editor at her publishing house. And they were probably like, yeah, it's great, Melissa. Like, it's so you. And, you know, Melissa's a busy girl. Maybe she didn't read every single word. So then she gets all this backlash later on. And she's like, wait, what did I right?
Yeah, and also maybe she believed it. And maybe she's changed her mind. I mean, let's allow a little space for growth. Mm-hmm. You know, I wonder what her book would, what a follow-up book would be like for Melissa G.
Wait, now that we're speaking about Housewives books, I have obviously read so many, and I'm sure you have too. Do you have a favorite?
I have not read. I have received... And I'm a big fan of reading like the acknowledgments page, okay, so that I can say that I just started reading their book and how great it is.
Oh my God.
I like looking behind me. I'm very far behind on housewife books. There's actually, I got a couple Bravo related books on display each and every day. I did do the AG book club a single time, okay, a couple years ago. And the first and only book that was a part of the AG book club was Ramona's Life on the Ramona Coaster. And the lead up to the book club was me picking a random page out of the book and reading whatever was on that page. And I swear to fucking God, I opened the book. And of course, the page was one of many pictures. And it was Ramona in a bikini on a beach. And it said, look at my fit body. So that, I guess Ramona's book was my favorite because I was undone from that moment. Oh my God,
that is so funny. I remember reading that book. And I can't remember what the word was, but I almost feel like she wrote the book herself because there was an adjective that was used like excessively. And I can't remember what it was, but it was every other page, multiple places on a page. I forget what the adjective was, but I was like, Ramona, we have got to use our synonym.
I just pulled it off of the Clawfish shelf. Allow me one moment. I'm going to pick a random page. And then I'm just going to go right here.
Okay.
Let's see. Okay. I wasn't being true to myself, which is something that I think a lot of the housewives struggle with when they first come on the show. I think during those first two seasons, Luann had the same issue. She was all about being the countess and projecting this very dignified persona. On the show, she would never do anything racy or controversial, but the Luann I came to know off the show is really fun and crazy and wild. She drinks and swears and is a very sexy woman. I do think she eventually got more comfortable showing this side of herself, but in the beginning, she was much more reserved on camera. Thank you,
Ramona, for that. That was so wonderful.
That was so wonderful and so revealing that Lou is sexy and fun. I love that.
Ramona's was not one of my favorites, but I think I think one of my favorites, honestly, was Taylor Armstrong's. It was so good. And at the time that I read it, I was like in my own very dark relationship era. Oh, and so okay. It just like really like, it wasn't that dark. It wasn't that dark. Let me just say that. But
you were living a difficult chapter in your life.
Yes. Yep. And it helped me get out of it. So I always think of Taylor Armstrong's Hiding from Reality with such fondness because it felt like my friend. It's not a very long book, of course. Not many Housewives books are, but it really felt like my companion. She was with me walking through the Upper East Side, in and out of class. Yeah, I did love that one. And I also recently finally read Dorinda's. And that one's good. I like that one. I want to do Marge's next. I haven't done Marge yet.
Oh, I would love to read Marge's. I bet Marge's is like actually excellent.
Yeah.
Like a genuinely good read. Have you ever told Taylor how much that book meant to you? You have so many interactions with the actual housewives. You interview them so much.
I've never had a Taylor moment like ever in my whole life. I've never met her, never talked to her. Like I've never even bumped into her at an event. But 19-year-old Evan would die. I love her so much. Like I put Taylor in the top three. I love her.
You know, I got the chance at the like after party for this, the premiere, the New York premiere of the
Girls Trip. Yes.
Oh my God, it was so great. And we got to shoot the shit with them. Like Brandy sat with us. I got a picture with Vicky and Tamara. And yes. Tamara was like, my button came undone because again, show you 90%. And she was like, the pictures are her like in my boobs, which I was extremely into and got the chance to very briefly, but in a wonderful way, not like literally like meet and greet, like, but genuinely like meet and greet, like hang out with Phaedra and Taylor. And
what did you think of Taylor in person?
I mean, I have to say, I thought maybe more, actually, I guess for both, it was just kind of really grounding. I think like the series, this, the reboot, the whatever you want to call it, Girls Trip, was grounding for many, not all of these housewives. And I thought in some ways it was grounding for both of them. Both were, I mean, any housewife that you meet, regardless of your opinion of how they behave on Housewives itself, 99.9%, especially if it's at like an event like that, they're going to be lovely. And they were wonderful. Honestly, they were very sweet and funny. Taylor was doing the enough pictures and videos. And was like reveling in being celebrated as she should. You know, it was It was really, really fun to hang with them.
Oh my God, that sounds like a dream. Yeah, Phaedra also is someone who I love so much. And I'm so fascinated by her ability to be entertaining yet not reveal one meaningful thing about herself.
Nothing. What do you think is going to happen to her?
I don't know. I really kind of feel like everyone's talking about like these Atlanta rumors. I truly don't think she's interested. I don't think she's ever going to rejoin that franchise. I think it was a very toxic ending for her. There's not a world where she and Candy can exist on the same show. And I just feel like Candy's such a favorite for the network that it's just, I don't think Phaedra's interested, but I really think that she's positioning herself for Dubai. I mean, she has like a business there. She that's where she like sources and sells like seaweed tablets. So it makes sense. She's friends with Caroline Brooks. Caroline Brooks is apparently in the process of helping her find a house out there. I interviewed her about it like maybe a month or so back. And I did ask her, I was like, so like, how would this impact co-parenting with Apollo / like, do you care? And she was like, didn't say this. So it basically was like, I don't care. Cause she, you know, she's the financial person. She did say I'm the financial person. So wherever I make the money is where the kids will go. And she said that the boys are excited about a potential move to Dubai. So that's not a worry. She's got a business there. She's in the process of like looking for a house. She's friends with Brooks, and Lisa and Ayan already don't like her. So you got the built-in tension. So I think that Dubai could make sense for Phaedra.
Do you think it would really happen? You really do?
I think there's like, again, if I'm channeling my intuition and putting a percentage on it, I think there is an 82% chance it'll happen.
Spoiler alert, I watch a lot of Bravo. And when I'm not watching Bravo, I'm sitting in the cloth having a moment of spiritual growth. And when that's not happening, I'm living here in New York where there is a lot to do and not a lot of time to do it. The last thing that I want to be thinking about, let alone worrying about, is my hair. Now, I have wavy hair naturally. It also has color processing, which is surprising because I am a spiritual blonde. And as a result, I don't want to have to worry about frizz. That's why I love Way's anti-frizz cream. It works for my hair texture. It works for having wavy hair. It smells great. There are notes of bergamot, Italian lemon. You guys know I just went to Italy. It was for moments like this, violet and more. Having used a lot of products in my hair in the past, I don't like a heavy feeling, especially when you have wavy hair. That's incredibly important, which is why I love the anti-frizz cream. It makes my hair look like me just a little bit better. Way's new anti-frizz cream provides immediate frizz control that lasts up to 72 hours. It helps reduce and repair split ends. And according to a consumer perception study, 90% of participants agreed that their hair looks less frizzy. And I would like to know what that consumer perception study has to say about some original cast members of The Real Housewives of New York. You'll be way obsessed with Way's bestsellers. They're leave-in conditioner, detox shampoo, hair oil, gloss, and so much more. Frizz-free up your schedule with Way. Go to theouai.com and enter promo code Andy for 15% off any product. That's
theouai.com, promo code Andy. C'est bon, c'est bon. With Mother's Day around the corner, are you thinking about a truly special gift for your mom or a maternal figure in your life? Let me tell you about mylifeinabook.com. It's a unique service that turns your mom's life stories into a beautiful book. Pretty cool, right? Here's how it works. Every week, mylifeinabook.com will send her a question via email. These can be pre-written questions about her life or any custom questions you want to ask. Then she can either type up her response or record her voice. And mylifeinabook.com compiles all of her responses into a beautiful keepsake book. And guess what? They can even create an audiobook using her voice recordings. It's like preserving her voice and her stories for eternity. This book becomes a legacy, something you and future generations can treasure forever. Your mom's given you a lifetime of stories. This is your chance to give her a way to share them. I want to know about the stories of how my mom and dad grew up. What's the first thing they remember after they were born? That's one of the questions I sent to my dad after signing up for My Life in a Book. And I can't think of a greater gift to give my dad in sharing his stories and to receive. It's super easy to use. My favorite part of it, as someone who sometimes lives on turtle time and forgets about sending or receiving email, is that they reach out a couple days prior to sending questions. Just so I know of what questions they're going to send to my dad, if I want to change it for another question or customize it with something that I want to know. It's that kind of specificity and care that I love so much. This is genuinely an incredible, incredible gift. There's no greater present than I could give a family member or a loved one than to participate in this kind of meaningful appreciation for the entirety of their lives, separate from my own. Check out mylifeinabook.com and use code AndysGirls at checkout for 10% off. Create an unforgettable gift for your mom or loved one this Mother's Day. That's mylifeinabook.com. With code AndysGirls for 10% off today. And thank the Jills Aaron and your life and mine.
What has been the most surprising reveal that you have received or scoop in the Housewives universe that has been covered on Page Six, or like sources are telling you intel that you get, and it can be about an IRL moment or an online moment or a moment from a show filming? Has there been something that's like completely taken you aback?
Yeah, I mean, well, I got like the scoop that Vicky talked about the vaccine. And so that the, like, as I was like hearing it from my sources, I was like, what? I mean, it tracks, because I, you know, I know how, you know, Vicky feels. Like, that was never a secret, really. But I was like, really? Like, that's what they're going to do on the show. So it was like kind of wild to see it eventually play out on the show. I'm trying to think like what other scoops have been really. Oh, I mean, I'm not trying to get a cease and desist, but I heard so much stuff about Aspen and Kathy. I'm highly intrigued to see what is going to play out on the show. Because right now, it still feels like we are kind of in the dark. And from what I never heard anything about Tequilagate. So if that's what they're going to make it about and leave out all the other stuff now. Okay, so then now I'm kind of grateful for Rinna, because I think she's going to bring up the things that I'm not talking about right now at the reunion, hopefully. I need some clarity, and I'm sure all the Bravo fans out there know exactly what I'm talking about. You know, we're all tapped in. We've seen things. We've seen these allegations. So, yeah, I heard so much that we just couldn't report about.
How do you decipher what to report on?
Well, when you get slapped with a C and D from Marty Singer, sometimes that helps make the decision pretty easy. So
did you get a cease and desist?
Mm-hmm.
From who?
From Kathy Hilton, from through Marty Singer.
Wait. Wait.
Yeah.
Wait. Okay,
She wasn't playing around. I wasn't the only one. I mean, I was one of many who got C&Ds.
What was the timeline on this? Ooh. Walk me through.
I want to say it was January.
Okay.
January? I can look.
Cold winter's night in Los Angeles, California.
It was such drama.
A chilly 83 degrees. Oh, and ever the professional, Evan Real is quite literally looking for the exact timeline.
Yeah. I can't figure it out right now, but I think I was actually figuring out the timeline the other night because it came up in a wine-filled conversation with my fiance, and I believe it was January, or maybe February, because it was right. It was, like, after Kyle's birthday, which is January. So I think it was, like, around February-ish.
So what happened? Had you reported on something for Page Six and then Kathy? Or had it been after Aspen and you hadn't even reported on anything for Page Six and she was just sending cease and desist to every outlet, every major outlet?
So it was after Aspen and I got all these tips and all this information from different people about things that allegedly went down in Aspen. And okay. So I reported it out. I got the story together. And then, of course, we have to, you know, comment call to everyone's publicist, like everyone who's named in the story, everyone who's involved, like, hey, this is what we're reporting. Do you have any response? And Kathy's team responded with a cease and desist from the famed LA attorney, Marty Singer. So then that halted the story from coming out.
What's the percentage here? How normal is that to receive a cease and desist in the Bravo universe?
It is my first time ever receiving a cease and desist.
Wow.
Regarding anything. And, you know, I've covered more than Bravo in my decade plus journalism career. But yeah, that is the first and only cease and desist I have ever received was via Kathy Hilton.
So has Page Six ever covered anything relating to the specifics of what allegedly happened in Aspen? Or has it been more something happens in Aspen and we don't know what? Bye-bye.
It's been like, you know, like when Kathy went on her iPad on Instagram and was like, Rick, save me. Like we posted about that. Or when she did the interview with Prima Donald for E! With Paris. So like... if she says it and it's like out there, like we'll write about it. But, you know, with the source reporting and then Kathy's team coming down hard on us, we decided it was not worth the risk. So I don't know. I might be a big fan of Rinna by the end of the season if she somehow brings light to this really murky situation. But I do think there is a lot of interest in protecting Kathy among the cast, and then also just like if I were to guess, like NBC Universal as a whole, because you know Kyle is such a situation for them with like Halloween and the made for TV movies, and then Paris had Paris in Love, so there's just like, you know, her influence and spread is very wide and far reaching, Kathy Hilton, and she's got the money to sick Marty Singer on anyone, so.
But Kyle doesn't seem super interested in protecting Kathy from what we've seen so far. She's like the first one throwing her in the fire.
Yes, for sure. I think that's a little confusing right now, but I think the way it wraps up is her like defending Kathy against whatever Erica and Rinna are saying Kathy did or said.
That's the other part of it too. You would think that if there was a vested interest in protecting Kathy, noting how many times Bravo or production has intervened when they felt cast members of any franchise have been too hot on social, the fact that they seemingly haven't done that with BH, if they have a vested interest in protecting anything when so much of the online stuff from Erica and Rinna seems to be about fucking with Kathy on social, like you would think they would have said something if they really...
Maybe, I mean, if I had to guess, like maybe they're just like doing as much as they can to protect her because maybe it's like as bad as it allegedly was. I don't know. And like they're just like doing it. I don't know. I'm about to get another cease and desist.
No, you're not. Honestly, it's a really confusing environment made so much more complicated by other confusing and wild things that have happened on social media and on the show that it's like, who's protecting the audience? Like, what? There's so much that's like not making this show fun or anything, truly anything this season, that like it is kind of the Kathy of it all to me isn't in the top three of like moments that really truly needs to be unpacked. Well, I hope that it is and we get more clarity. Erica Jane should be taking up all of the oxygen in the room in terms of like, who is this person truly? At least I mean, the stakes couldn't be higher for Erica. There are actual victims involved.
I know. And so I've guessed that, like, at some point, because, like, we saw it in the trailer, Kyle's like, why do you want to take down Erica? Or take down Kathy because everyone was, like, taking you down. Like, I mean, I guess she just tries to put it on K-Girl.
And also, you know, the Erica stuff we got into in depth on the last AG, but I have to say, I think the first notification or confirmation I had received that Diana wasn't attending the reunion was in reading the Page Six coverage of it. And I had a question for you,
yes, Evan Real,
because it's according to sources, LOL, Diana wasn't able to attend the reunion, and it may be due to COVID or other reasons, I don't know. But it said that according to the sources, they said, source I, said that she had contracted COVID likely during her travel from her Hawaii estate back to LA, which was confusing to people because she was continuing to Instagram from Hawaii. And then the Page Six piece said, nope, those are actually throwbacks. She's not in Hawaii. She was in LA, but it seems like she stayed in Hawaii, maybe. What happened?
It seems that way, doesn't it?
So what does that do to the information from sources saying that she got this when she traveled back, specifically saying she traveled back from Hawaii to LA to film and then of course couldn't because she tested positive for COVID, and you know, we love safety, got that, but you're saying this happened when you traveled back. You're also saying you're essentially fact checking, not you but like the source, in saying, oh, those aren't real in real time photos because, again, as I just said, she got this when she was traveling back and she's in LA. But what does that do to the argument around the other stuff if she stayed in Hawaii? How does that make sense?
I mean, look, it's what the sources told us.
And right, and sources can be wrong, and who knows who those sources are. They could be totally unrelated to anything. It's funny how sources work. Sometimes they seem to have a lot of information. Sometimes that information changes. And isn't that just so funny? Isn't that funny how that sourcing works out? Isn't that comical?
And if you read the story, it is a source close to Diana Jenkins. So
probably not the pilot, though. Because I feel like the pilot would remember the flight. But a source close to Diana. But, you know, sources get things wrong. Maybe they got it wrong. Or maybe they were right. And she flew back and then she did something else.
Yeah. I mean, we were told that they were throwback photos. And, you know, who doesn't love a good throwback?
You know, my favorite part of a throwback is how, like, you know, I was looking at throwback pics from, I've been to Paris several times, and it keeps popping up because I've gone a couple times in September. So when you do, like, the Instagram throwback, it, like, I'll see a couple different trips when I look at September. Like, this happened on this day. And the fun thing with throwbacks is sometimes it feels like, oh, my God, that just happened. It feels like it just happened. I know it didn't. I know it was 2019. But isn't that so fun how throwbacks sometimes look like something that's happening in real time, but it didn't because it's a throwback.
Yeah, and sometimes it's like fun to post a throwback just days later.
Yeah, moments I think that's a lot of fun. While other people who maybe attended the vacay also do throwbacks at that time, and nobody thinks to write throwback, but I get it.
Isn't that fun how like Diana and her immediate family decided to just have a throwback moment at the, like, literally at the same time? Like, I think that says a lot to the bond that they share as a family.
Yes. It is a tremendous bond. How surprised were you when you found out, aside from the reasons why, when you found out that she wouldn't be attending the reunion in person?
I mean, it makes sense. I feel like whether she has, even if she didn't have COVID, I think it would be tough for Diana, for her feet to be held to the fire. There's a lot of questions that I think Andy's girls have for her. like, she kind of has a lot to answer for. Like, the Black content creator drama. What else? I'm like, what even happened? I feel like she like has been doing
calling
so much Sutton lately.
A cunt and yes. Then laughing about it, yes. Saying she's a terrible person, saying on social media that Garcelle was directly making fun of her miscarriage.
Right. There's just like there was like a lot, and I feel like, you know, if you're doing a segment via Zoom, there's only so much you can fit into that, because from what I understand, it's not like Brandi Redmond sitting in her screen on the chair. Like, I think that it's like a specific moment in the reunion where it's like you get your little chunk of Diana. So yeah, I feel like this is probably a lot easier for her. And then, you know, she's posted that sunset throwback talking about new beginnings and ending chapters and all that. So I feel like Diana could be a one and doneer. There's no way she could come back.
Do you think she would want to?
I don't think she gives a fuck, because why, like, and that's the thing too. That's why I think Diana's story has gone the way it's gone, because she has literally nothing to lose. Like, she's already hobnobbed with, like, the famous of the famous. She's besties with Elton John. She has more money than God. This was probably just, like, something to occupy her time. Like, she's got the fame, well, not fame, but like she's fame adjacent, and she has the money. Like, this, I don't think Housewives leveled her up in any way. So like, what does it matter if she's not on it? I think it would be tough for like the network to welcome her back, because I don't think the fan response has been one. I mean, obviously it hasn't been wonderful. Mm-hmm. She hasn't even been on Watch What Happens Live, which I think is the first for a new housewife. I mean, all signs point to the sun setting on her housewife's career.
And it's such a good point that you're making, because for so many people, Housewives is such a valuable currency in terms of fame, celebrity, access, power, can change your life. I mean, you know, the Bethany Frankel Accord is the gold standard of how housewives can truly change your future and the ways that you're viewed and valued. And it's like, if you already have an awful lot of currency, I don't know that even ways that strings are attached to like payment schedules of like you get this chunk after attending the reunion, that's not going to do a lot to somebody who is as tremendously wealthy as Diana is, you know, regardless of medical reasons. Just like the idea of how things are strategized and done, which works for a lot of housewives, doesn't necessarily work in these cases.
Yeah, totally. I I really don't think she cares, which is good. I think that it would be like a mutual situation among all parties, the network, fans, Diana, like go back to the piano with Asher. Like,
do you think that Erica will be back?
I think so. I think that Erica is, I think Erica is really smart. Mm-hmm. I think that hopefully she's sort of like taking the temperature of the mm-hmm. Bravo fandom. And I think that could like impact her decision making as she ventures forth into the next season. I think that a really good look for her, and like, I don't know, I guess hopefully it would be like authentic. I hope there's like a way she and Sutton can become friends in a way that feels authentic. I think that would just like really shake up the dynamic a lot. And I truly feel like people have said, I forgot who was saying it on the show, one of the housewives was saying that like they would be great friends if they could just like get past
Garcelle, I think.
Yeah, like if they could just get past the BS, I think that could be a really fun friendship. And I think it would be easier for that to happen if Rinna doesn't come back. So I don't think Erica's done just yet. And I don't think she wants to be done just yet because she has a lot of bills to pay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think the chances are much higher that Erica and Sutton can develop a work style that mm-hmm. is friendly within the bubble and universe of Housewives than Erica taking the temperature in the room and being like, wow, the fans really think that I should be apologetic for things I've said, so I'm going to do that. I don't see that any reason why or how that could happen based on her behavior on the most recent episode, which I just rewatched before we started recording and was like, fuck, man, this might be worse the second or third time around. Like, Jesus.
Yeah, that was really jarring. And not to put my fiance on the spot, but as she was, not to like blow him up or anything, but as we were watching that, he was like kind of saying that he might take the Erica route and not give the earrings back just yet, because I guess it's kind of true like what Garcelle was saying. It's like if you hand them over, it is like an admission of guilt in a way.
Well, I mean, I think you look at the way that judge who Erica called out on social for having an affair with Tom, she herself apparently handed in all of the gifts or many of the gifts that he had given her very quickly, because she sort of felt seemingly that they didn't belong to her. And so there's a difference between Erica's right to a trial and to go through the legal process versus are these really victims, which she was explicitly saying they might not be, and also do they have the right to ask me for things? How dare they go through the courts, while also saying the courts are the place to handle this. She seems to have a lot of anger specifically toward people who were defrauded by Tom for going after things without acknowledging that even since the season aired, like the courts determined, I believe, that those earrings were paid for by the trust, by right. money from the trust. So they were right, she was wrong.
Right.
But she seems to be having a lot of anger toward them that I think is incredibly unreasonable and
gross. Oh, 100%. And I just want to say, for the record, I would give the earrings back. Like,
no, it's not that. Just, and everybody thinks that they would go and do XYZ. And like, she has the right to go through the legal process. The moral implications of this, which Crystal and Garcelle got dragged by Erica for saying, are, I think, important discussion when you have to film with this person and you want to figure out what kind of person they are. And Erica revealed herself, because to Erica, apparently, it's really not just about the legal system, noting that if she really gave a shit about the legal system, she would be really angry at the ways that Tom has abused it for so long, including paying judges to be in their back pocket, which is why it took so long for him to be disbarred. So like, there's an innocence or a morality that she has assigned to the legal system in them being the judge and jury, noting that a lot of his money, and by his I mean LOL, somebody's money, a lot of people's money, not necessarily his, was spent on seemingly ensuring that he would have safe passage, I guess, to continue defrauding people. She has a different experience with law, with the idea of law, than she probably should if she really took into account what Tom manipulated within the law to steal and defraud from innocent people. She's not connecting those dots. And it might be because she doesn't have capacity and she wants to sell $250 sweatshirts. It just might also be that she's like a fucking prick. Like, I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah. I was getting really frustrated for Crystal when Crystal was basically saying, like, you know, people die, like, they're like, victims do exist. And Erica was like, well, prove it. Like, where's your proof? Like, back it up, which it was just, like, so annoying. And I felt Crystal feeling, like, a little, like, you know, because, like, what proof is she going to pull out? Like, what do you mean? Like, do you want, like, the death certificate? Like, we know that people got fucked over. It was just really, yeah. Yeah, I mean, there are some receptors missing for Erica in this whole situation, for sure. I just think that, like, her, like, where she comes from is, like, well, I didn't know about it. So, like, you know, she so strongly maintains that she did not know about it. So, like, what she doesn't know, she doesn't have to answer for. And so, to her, the earrings are, like, a gift. And I'm assuming that, like, if she were to hand that gift to these victims, even though $750,000 could help them immensely, that's her saying, like, I knew that they came from funds that weren't meant for me and my earrings. I don't know.
I don't know that it has to do with guilt and the perception of it. I think it has to do with the idea that this is hers. She's saying, this was given to me. This was a gift. This was a mine. I don't have anything to do with this man that I was married to for 2 decades, let alone what happened with my LLC. I shouldn't be blamed for this, and people are blaming me. And so I'm going to continue to talk about things that were purchased for me, that are expensive, that are mine. I'm taking these earrings on the trip. I'm going to show them on camera, understanding the ways that they've been the topic of national conversation. And that is just what I'm going to do, because nobody is going to fuck with me and come for my shit. Like, she's unwilling to understand, let alone the perception. Like, she uses the phrase, I mean, potential victims is, like, one of the more repellent things she said. But idea of the court of public opinion, not understanding that public opinion is also attached to fact. And that is a tough pill to swallow when you just want to call people fake news. But what happens when the news isn't fake? That's the thing that Erica is playing in, the world of fake news, in the world of alternate facts, in the world of potential victims. She doesn't want to play in reality. And that is tough when you have a camera crew and you are on reality TV. That makes things a lot more difficult.
Oh my God, 100%. I also think that, you know, financially, she's not in the best of places. So handing over earrings that are worth $750,000, more than them being gorgeous diamond earrings that were a gift, or more than maybe she's worried about the perception of guilt, who knows? It's like a good chunk of money that could be beneficial to her down the line, because she has a lot of expenses and only so many ways to pay them now.
Yeah. And I mean, the Bravo docket has covered this on their social media, and they noted the situation and noted that a federal judge, and this is on their Instagram, subsequently agreed with Crystal, finding that the earrings had been purchased with stolen client funds. Though in court filings, Erica admitted that the funds used to purchase the earrings came from the trust account. She's appealing the court's order that she had to turn them over. So, miss, it's just about the facts. It's just about the court, what they decide I'll do. It turns out that that's actually not what she's going to do. What she's going to do is appeal the fuck out of this as long as it possibly takes. So it's like a grain of salt should be applied to literally anything that she says, especially when she's trying to dibble dabble in the world of legalities, noting that she has every right to go through anything that she has available, as the victims do, to hopefully I mean, the idea of being made whole is like wildly unrealistic because of the amount of money that he stole. But hopefully they're able to get back some of the funds, especially noting how those funds were used seemingly to buy some really lovely gifts. It's unfortunate Tom didn't, you know, put up an Instagram story, as I like to do, saying, you know, should I buy this thing for my wife? I mean, I love to do an audience poll on all things retail. And my guess is that he did not send that poll out to the people he was stealing from. I guess there's, you know, always those third and fourth and fifth crimes that he engaged in. But, you know, it is what it is. It's a terrible situation, and she's super revealing on this season, and people are going to take her at her word, and they're going to give her the benefit of, and some are going to give her the benefit of the doubt. And it's a wild fucking thing to see. But if the reunion is more focused on what Kathy did or didn't do on Aspen and not what we are all watching Erica engage in repeatedly with a certain amount of glee, I think that would be an incredibly missed opportunity.
I agree. Yeah. We need to question her again. Like another hot seat situation.
She should be in the hot seat for as long as the hot seat is available. It doesn't mean that we can't have nuanced conversations about this. It doesn't mean that, you know, there can't be any iota of sympathy or empathy for finding out that your husband is a serial criminal. But it doesn't appear that she's applying any of that to people that he grievously harmed. And that includes widows and orphans and burn victims. So, you know, he was a really charming guy. We started the episode by talking about how charming Jen Shah was. So was Tom. And look where that charm landed for so many people who didn't ask to be defrauded and yet found themselves in living a much different life than should be theirs to live because Tom Girardi went to the mall, you know?
Right. Went to the mall.
Evan Real, listen, you know, I die for you. I could talk to you forever. I can't believe we didn't even talk about Marlo. Oh my God. Atlanta. Can I just get a quick thought from you on Marlo, Marlo's, you know, what she shared on the reunion, which I thought was so impactful, and your thoughts on Marlo as a housewife to be continued?
Yeah, I do love Marlo. I've been advocating to the entire world for her to get her peach for so long. So I'm so happy that this moment finally came for her. But I was like in tears when she like went around to all her castmates and like mentioned their accolades and why she admires them. The former Miss USA, the Olympian, the Grammy winning singer-songwriter. Like she went through the whole group and explained why she felt so honored to be among them, and you know, just knowing where she came from and just the evolution. I was so proud of her. And yeah, it's just so nice to learn more about her this whole season, because for so many years she was just the really shady friend of who like allegedly slept with men for money. And yeah, it's just nice to hear more of her story. I love her so much. I did interview Drew recently, and she felt that Marlo kind of like put it on a little bit for the peach, like got a little messier than she should have because she was worried about maintaining peach holder status. But I mean, we live for the mess, and Marlo is innately messy, so give her a peach, and of course, like, the mess level is gonna increase, so I don't blame her for that, but it's just interesting to hear, like, another cast member who is, like, on the new side, like, a new housewife, but has been around so, like, not as many years as Marlo, kind of say that, but I say, more mess, more Marlo, I'm here for it.
I really appreciate you saying that, like that moment where she was having that connection of like, and also Andy's ability to really connect. How did it feel to not have this thing? Like, did you feel valued receiving the peach? And what does it mean to having gone through that process for so long and connecting that to her experience in and out of foster care and a childhood that I think most people wouldn't be able to truly understand.
Oh my God, yeah, like having a foster parent take you in and then kicking you out. Like the fact that she is like still standing today, I would have crumbled for sure.
Yeah, and the emotion that she had in watching the clip package involving her mom and hearing more about that experience, it makes you wonder, because I think Marlo's very perceptive, and it makes you wonder how getting the feedback that she may have been able to get from this season, how that might affect her next season. Like, maybe it's possible that she'll still have moments that are explosive and tense, but like maybe there's more room potentially to do the things that even Kenya was saying during the reunion of like, I was kind of thinking she would take this in a different direction. Maybe Marlo could change. I don't think it's that easy as just like changing course, but like, but maybe.
I think so. It was, speaking of Kenya though, after Marlo had that very sweet touching moment with everyone and Andy goes, Kenya, how did you think Marlo did? Kenya, terrible.
Kenya was like, bad, bye. Next question. I mean, Marlo trying to make this like, I die for her, but Marlo making that like, to me, fucking dumbass comment about Candy not being a producer and then hiding behind, I didn't know, which to me is so disingenuous.
Yeah.
Makes me nervous for her for the rest of the season, because she's trying to dial it down to being passive aggressive, and I just... Or maybe that's what she should be doing. I don't know. But I was not here for it. I hate the devaluing Candy's actual genuine professional accomplishments. But maybe she does that because she knows it'll get a response.
Totally. I think that's part of it. But I will say that I didn't love all the ways that Marlo attacked Candy this season.
Totally.
Just knowing how big of a champion Candy has been for Marlo for so many years, and we didn't really get into it on the reunion, but Candy did pitch a show for Marlo's. It was called like Hotlanta, and it was like a fashion situation, and like the fact that Marlo isn't like considering that when she decides to attack Candy is a little weird. That was her, that was my the one thorn of my Marlo experience this season.
Well, Marlo trying to take away from it and not allowing herself to express appreciation or gratitude to Candy by being like, the contract didn't work out, and also Todd was the one who called, and it's like, sweetie, like, who do you think is talking to Todd?
Yeah,
like,
right.
Candy and Todd produce things together. They work together. They are also a married couple. Yeah. They communicate with each other, and it does make you wonder a little bit, like, why do you think that why are you trying to communicate so much that Candy is strategic or didn't do these things? Is that because that's only been your experience with people? Because I just think Candy is not the one to say these things about. It's just like, she's one of the most successful housewives of all time. She was successful before Housewives. She will remain successful after, when she chooses to leave. And it's just like, It's not a great look for Marlo, but I think it's maybe the only one that she has interest in showing when it comes to like Candy, I guess.
Yeah, I hope that Marlo finds a new avenue for her next go as a full-time cast member, because yeah, Candy's not the one.
And I don't think Kenya is either. And I don't know. Yeah. For Marlo, it's like, listen, if you cross those lines with some of these women, they're not going to walk back regardless of what the show wants. They will, when they are done with you, they are done. And you don't want to be iced out. And this is not the way to go to warm it up, unless you just want to only and always be scalding hot with some of them. It's just not, I don't know. But if you feel that way, I mean, if this is how she feels, she should express it. I just don't know how successful it's going to be.
Yeah.
Listen, Evan Real, let's be real. I could talk to you forever. Tell the people, I cannot wait to see you at BravoCon. Tell the people where they can follow you online. If there's anything that you're working on with Page Six or the pod, mention it all.
Yes, you can follow me at Evan Real on Instagram and log on to page6.com to see to see what's going on there. What do I got coming up? Oh, my interview with Maitland Ward it will be out soon. That's not a Bravo situation, which is very rare for me. It's very rare that I'm not working on Bravo stuff these days, but she opened up to me about her foray into the porn industry and all the kind of traumatizing stuff she experienced as a teen actor on soap operas and on Boy Meets World. So that will be really interesting. And yeah, I dropped a Dolores interview today. We caught up about Teresa and Melissa and her spot on Celebrity Beef with Caroline. She's kind of teased Caroline's return.
Oh my God.
Teresa's down. Like,
Teresa's down?
That's what Dolores told me.
I wonder how Caroline, because Caroline and the Gorgas, did they fall out a while ago?
I don't remember or recall, but currently, as Teresa is feuding with the Gorgas, Caroline has been commenting and liking everything from Joe and Melissa. So it seems like he's trying to like slide in there a little bit.
Honestly, listen, I've talked about it here on AG, not just because I am literally obsessed with Christopher Manzo, love of my life. I would love to see my future spiritual mother-in-law back on New Jersey. I think it would be great and would love to see it. And if Teresa's down and the network is down, meaning they will pay her what Caroline deserves, which I think they would need to in order to make this thing happen, let's get it on.
Yes, 100%.
Is Caroline going to BravoCon? She was at the last one. They did an OG.
I am not sure, but she should go.
She should go.
Yeah.
She should go. Caroline, DM me and we'll talk about it at Sunday dinner. Let me know what's going on. Guys, new Patreon episode went up this weekend featuring my live reaction to the Potomac trailer as well as your satchels of gold. Those are named in honor of Her Holiness Kelly Cloran Ben-Simone. Your thoughts and feels, questions and concerns concerning all things housewifery. So look for that episode on the Andy Scrolls Patreon, the number one way to support this pod. You get exclusive bonus episodes and so much more. Patreon.com/AndyScrolls. Follow me on Instagram at Dame Galley. Also had another piece go up for the Daily Beast where I explored the world of F1 racing and the ways that housewife fans are the perfect fit for the audience of Drive to Survive, a phenomenal reality show on Netflix about all things Formula One, which I watched all four seasons of in a week, like a psycho. My favorite thing to do, P1 forever, P1 Pierre, P1. So guys, I'm including a link to that piece in the show notes for this episode. It also includes comparing Formula One racers to their spiritual housewife, which was a true pleasure and a thrill and way too fucking easy. So I don't know what that says about me. But guys, look for that and follow me on Instagram. I think I already said that, but at Dame Galley, do it a second time. Try not to get blocked by the housewifey, whatever, yada, yada. Evan Real, thank you so much for coming back.
Always the best time.
I'll see you in a couple weeks. About a month. Yes. And guys, hopefully we see you at BravoCon 2. And let us know your thoughts and feels about this app. And we will talk to you soon. Bye-bye.